Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And over here in this corner, I'm Robert Winters.
They're always in that corner. They see you all the time. Anyway, so so we talked a lot about the budget, which is important. And there were, like we said, two city council meetings, and some of what you just talked about with the loan stuff, that was last night's meeting.
All that happened last night was the introduction of the budget, and all that means is that there was an overview, a lot of thank yous and all of that stuff and whatever, but the real substance begins next week for that. And I think it was early June is when the anticipated when it's anticipated to be completed, meaning approved.
There were a couple of meetings. They had that ARPA meeting where people commented on what they wanted, or they submitted their request.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
I might have watched some of that live, or might have.
I taped it and then I watched it.
Yeah. But what's interesting about that one is that it's the inevitable thing happens when manna falls from heaven, federal money, large amount of money falls, comes to everybody, really all the communities everywhere in the country, really, and there is at least some association with that, by the way, and the current inflation rates, the increase in inflation too. Yeah, but that was expected. But, there are some of the allocations have already been promised.
Right.
There was some more of those were settled at last night's meeting. And there's another, I think, $33 million that was still up for grabs.
And also Mayor Siddiqui announced the $22 million for to continue the Cambridge Rise program. And that's coming out of ARPA.
Yeah. I mean, and again, to nobody should dislike that, because to be so would be a grinch, right? But
it's made a big difference in people's lives. But you're questioning, how do we continue that?
Well, that's my concern about it is that when you, if you're basically putting people on a $500 per month stipend that goes, for, I think as they said, 18 months, if I heard it correctly, then what happens then at the end? I mean, I like to look long-term. It's one thing to sort of say, this is all because there's a COVID-related emergency.
Can I ask you something? Do you know how many people that covers? I'm curious. Actually, that's a lot of money. And if it's 500, is it, how many families is that? Do I do the math? I mean, I don't know if it's like that.
I can tell you, I did the math. Basically, $22 million spread over 18 months of $500 checks is 2,000 some odd recipients.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And those are chosen through some other process.
Well, that's a little bit of a mystery to me. I mean, I'm sure there has to be some sort of application process.
Well, they already have been receiving funds. So somehow the process was done.
Yeah. But if a lot of that money came in via where you basically got charity, and there was very little. I mean, there's people making a big deal out of the fact that the ARPA money isn't subject to the restrictions that the anti-aid amendment. But that doesn't mean it's unrestricted. You still have to basically show a COVID connection.
That one, I'm pretty sure they can.
To a point,
pandemic.
Right. But I'm just speaking intuitively here now to say that it does seem to me like what's really seems to be an effort to establish a permanent program, right?
Well, then they're going to have to figure something else out then.
Right, because the truth is that you can't do it under existing state law.
Right.
So I'm anticipating, enjoy it while it's here, sure.
But what happens in 18 months? It'll be a grant-funded thing, and they'll raise money from big corporations. I don't know.
They're not going to be able to raise money in that scale anymore.
Well, so maybe it won't be that much, maybe the families will be different. Maybe it'll be a lesser amount. I don't know, but it's happening around the country. It's not Cambridge Rise. I mean, the Rise program is not just our unique program.
It's not widespread, but there are some other instances of where people are doing things like that of direct aid,
which has been proven to work better than just some of these other things that people do. So.
Well, I'm not a big fan of just simply subjecting people to bureaucracies pointlessly.
Right.
there are better ways of doing all sorts of the ways in which we do public assistance. And
no, that's true.
If we can find better ways, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, it'll be interesting to see, because it's a good chunk of change there, you know. So that was a significant item, was the I think it was the Cambridge Housing Authority is asking for, I believe that's, I wrote it down, something like $78 million.
I don't know why I didn't write that down, because I
have
it
written somewhere here. I'm just not going to go scarfing around looking for it right now. But but you know, you've got $33 million to give, and one party is asking for $78 million, and it's the Cambridge Housing Authority, and everybody's up with housing.
Wait, are you saying there's 33 in addition to what's already been allocated, the 65?
They're basically asking for more than is available.
No. I'm talking about what the city has, because it was 65 plus this other, it was like 89,000 total, and some is already spoken for.
Right.
And the proposals amount to 139 million.
Right. But there's only a fraction of that will be available for it.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
But everybody's trying to put in their bids, you know.
Right. So. Exactly. So
anyway, so that's,
see what happens. That's that.
Right. But one of the aspects of the council meeting last night was they actually did do an allocation of part of that money, of part of the ARPA money.
Exactly. It was 22 million, and Zondervan wanted more detail on it. And according to what the city said, they didn't need to do that. They didn't need to provide that right now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of the dynamics that you see playing out, and I've actually been watching it play out for weeks, is that the fact that you had an unrestricted, or at least in so-called unrestricted funds there, basically spawned a lot of desire on the part of elected officials to have some direct say-so in the allocation of money.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not how a city manager form of government works. And what you're seeing is a little bit of a tension playing out there. So if one councilor says, well, I think you have to fund the HEART program. And the manager says, well, we've decided that we'd rather give money to the Cambridge Housing Authority, or to support building, put money toward building municipal broadband, right? I mean, you know, political people aren't really best suited to be making all those decisions.
No.
I think you're seeing a little bit of that tension playing out. And, you know, while the money's, you know, falling like manna from heaven, you know, you can have that argument, but once the manna stops, then we'll be back to, you know, they'll try and change the charter. We'll see. Yeah. You know, that's always in the works. There were a number of other things that came up at last night's meeting. One was that the can that seems to be perpetually kicked down the road, having to do with zoning and alewife.
It's not getting kicked anymore. It's going to a second reading.
Well, in a way, it is being kicked, because what they did was they passed to a second reading a zoning amendment to institute a moratorium.
Well, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Right, but a moratorium is not planning.
That's right. You're right, because they haven't planned it. They had all those years to plan for zoning, and they didn't do it. So now they're saying, "Well, wait, we don't want you to do that, even though you bought all that stuff and you have plans." Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. So it's not like it's not like I'm seeing any great grand vision. I mean, there was this envision process, which wasn't the best, but at least it did have, and it kicked off with the first phase.
Yeah. What happened to light manufacturing? What happened? I mean, they could have put that in place, and they never did, and now they're sorry. And they don't want to see labs and stuff. Well, guess what? You had your chance and you blew it. That's how I see it. I mean,
there were a lot of things that were at least somewhat either tightly or loosely affiliated with the Envision process that basically all sort of just got scuttled in favor of political expedience.
It's very frustrating.
So anyway, so they passed that moratorium to a second reading, which is procedural. Right. And it means that you have to wait for, I think, 10 days, and it basically has to get advertised in a paper, general circulation. Yeah. That is to say, the Cambridge Chronicle, and then they'll vote it and it'll pass. But there was something I was a little perplexed by, which was that there was a gentleman speaking there saying, and I didn't realize this.
Matthew,
shame on me.
He's spoken before. Yeah.
Apparently, this would apply to both the triangle and the quadrangle.
Yeah. I know. I didn't know that, but I look back on it; it does include that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I failed to notice that, you know.
Why don't you tell people the triangle is where all the high rises are.
Right. And that's, you know, and for those who went to prep schools, it's not called the Alewife Quad.
Yeah.
That's like if you went to Princeton, the quad. Yeah, no, right. The words came from the geometry of the shapes.
Right.
There was a long, thin, triangular shaped region, which was north of the railroad tracks, south of the Little
Bordered River. By Route 2 on the other side.
Going up to Fresh Pond Rotary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, it's straddled either side of what used to be called the Ringe Ave Extension, which is now called Cambridge Park Drive. Right.
Now, is the Alewife subway station part of the triangle?
That would be at the eastern edge of the triangle.
Right, the very corner. Okay.
But then the space between the railroad tracks and Concord Avenue is more of a quadrilateral. So that would be called the quadrangle. And that it has been called that, you know, though I think the sort of the Shishi characters are sort of trying to rebrand it as the quad, which is funny to me.
You know what? I mean, I know this, I'm probably an ignorant statement, but you know, all this protest by, I guess, people that live on the other side of that, which to me is almost like Belmont.
Cambridge Highlands?
But they have all the say about what goes on there. And I'm sorry, I don't know why.
I mean, well, I think they have,
you know,
maybe
they just don't want traffic. They don't want this and that.
They're not going to get traffic here, really. But
I know, but I just feel like they shouldn't have that much of a voice.
I think if you're talking about buildings, especially large buildings that are butting up against them,
right at the western edge
of the quadrangle.
Then why don't they get, so where were they a few years ago? Why shouldn't they have been, pounding the pavement, telling the council or the community development, hey, we want some zoning now because we don't want to see that. Because now the stuff has been sold. All right.
Yeah. Well. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, then somebody fell down on the job. Yeah.
Well, I think what happened was that the city council didn't do much of anything.
They fell down on the job.
And then this company came in.
And they just kept buying things.
Yeah, the name of the company now. But they.
They just bought up everything.
You know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property.
I mean, did they think that wasn't going to get sold? I mean, come on.
You know, somebody has to be asleep if they didn't realize that, in fact, Cambridge real estate, no matter where, is actually pretty much a hot property right now. So now the Cambridge Council, City Council is playing catch up. You know,
it's very restrictive. It's like saying if they have any, unless they have some kind of permitting process, forget it. You can't do any of this. They have to,
right. But there is a time limit on this moratorium. So
2 years.
We'll see. But you know, investment money probably wants to flow now. And we'll see what happens. But anyway, so they passed through a second reading and it'll come to a final vote in a couple of weeks and it'll pass in one form or another. Right. So anyway, since those are some of the big items
not a big item, but it kept getting charter righted, the Charlie cards. I thought that was interesting because I haven't followed it that much, but I was interested in some of the comments last night.
Listen, if I was a high school
card, what?
If I was a high school student and somebody said, would you, here's a choice. Yeah, would you like to pay bus fare or not? I'd say, sure. I'd rather give me a free card. Yeah.
Right. And yet Carlon had a comment. Well, the people of privilege aren't going to want these. Oh, come on. You offer something.
Everybody
free.
Wants it.
Every high school, everybody wants it. And I think the point that Nolan's point about, well, are we talking about all Cambridge high school students? Because then it's too vague because you don't have to live in Cambridge to be a high school student here, you know? So they have to obviously work on the language, but
Now
everybody
isn't it true
wants something
that
free. I mean,
but isn't simultaneously Baran, Azim, and others are looking into a fare free pilot program for buses?
Oh, for regular buses.
Yeah. So
I thought for a particular bus line. Well, they have that in Boston. They have the 20 or something, one of the buses.
Right.
But that's a separate thing. But that would be for adults.
Yeah. But it is, you know, and again, I'm not critical of it. To me, I was a beneficiary of a free bus pass for a while when I was working
when at MIT. I know.
You know, and it was kind of nice having it, you know.
No, so I think, and they can't have a means test. It has to be to all high schools, but I think they should be, and it should be to the two charter schools, as Nolan said,
right.
And it should be the high school, and technically it should be BB&N too, I guess, but I don't, I think they're being driven or they have their own cars. I mean, I'm being very
Yeah, but one thing, one observation I'm going to make, which is that political people have never seen a program involving giving people something that they didn't like.
So does that mean the city pays for those Charlie cards?
It depends on what their relationship with the MBTA is. I would imagine the answer is yes. Unless the MBTA says we'll cover the costs, then we'd have to pay the fare. So
I think they shouldn't be handed out. I think that the students have to ask for them. And I think that would already single some people out, which is fine. It was tabled so they could clean up the language, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll see where that's really going. So those are sort of the items that I thought were of some interesting import. There was at the previous meeting, there were some other items that I thought were noteworthy. I think maybe what I'm going to do is just try switching over to some of those right here, right now, and just to maybe make a few comments. So this is at the April 25th meeting.
Right.
After all the COVID stuff, whatever. One of the things I actually found interesting was there was this report. Remember there was a lot of controversy about hostile architecture?
Yes.
Remember there was the big controversy of people who had torn them out of the Central Square T-stop.
Yes, and yes.
Whatever. So I don't think that's really been settled, but actually Councillor Carlone, I think, was exactly right on in complimenting the report that came out of a combination of community development and public works department on sort of more of a balanced approach.
I didn't read it. So what did it say?
Basically it acknowledges the fact that, you know, that if you come up with benches, for example, that have dividers in the middle that prevent people from lying down, you know, the classic image being that of a bunch of drunks lying down on benches in the city square, right?
Yeah.
And that becomes sort of a problem. So it's you could argue that it's hostile to families, to have that, but then it would be very hostile to others to not have, to put those dividers in there.
Well, part of it is an ADA accommodation, right?
And certainly that was the point that MBTA made about that. So I think that there really are some balancing acts that are appropriately done there. I always thought Central Square would be sort of good if there was a combination, you know, some that were divided.
I mean, if I was sitting down, I wouldn't mind a separation from the next person.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. So I would say, as long as you've got enough benches to spare, have a mix. So people can pick and choose.
Okay. Yeah. And that's essentially what it said in the report.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, another thing that was quite significant at that council meeting was yet another continuation of the bike lane frenzy of North Mass Ave and Porter Square in particular. Right. And there was, the city council did approve. Yeah. It was a subject to the charter, right? But they did approve
You're talking about the April 25th meeting, right? Where they had 150 commenters, right?
Yeah, people went one after another. Okay. A lot of scripted comments.
We thank you for this, but
And but basically what they did was they said, well, let's allow the delay in the quick build, which would normally be forced by ordinance to happen, even if it was a kind of a silly thing to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. So they allow for some delay, all right, and some modification in the design. So some stuff proceeds, some does not. But then what happened then, there were two city council orders that I think there was at least some hope that they might actually have some support. That basically would have said, look, let's actually make official a delay here so that we can actually do the job right, which is what
it was going to be a very long delay.
That's a matter of opinion about what constitutes very long. But in the end, there was, I think, some hope that I think the sponsors were Denise Simmons, Paul Toner, and Dennis Carlone.
But he dropped out of one of them.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I got to give Dennis Carlone credit for actually, saying, look, this is what I think is really the right way to do the planning, even if there's people who are going to be critical of me for breaking a pledge, and that took a certain amount of courage to do that.
Yeah. So,
but in the end, the pressure, was just too great. And Patty Nolan, who was supposedly going to vote with them, chose not to. And
oh, she was? I didn't realize.
Yeah, she was supposed to.
Oh.
And then
saw the writing on the wall there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is a lot of this is political pressure when you really get down to it. It's not a matter of just doing what's right here. So one thing that was kind of interesting to me that actually was became part of that discussion, though, is there was a point where all the councils would taking turns speaking about it.
You're going to talk about McGovern and his math?
Not McGovern and his math, but actually Berhan Azim and his math.
I don't want to. He was referring to accidents. Or something.
Right. And I'm not saying this to sort of be mean about it. It's just that, in a political situation, you sort of want to sort of score points by, appealing to people's emotions and whatever.
Yeah.
And Councillor Azim certainly made it seem as though he was saying that as a person in his age range, and he was quoting statistics from the CDC, about mortality figures and whatever, what's the most likely cause of death for a person 15 to 24, 24. Actually, it was in those ranges.
Okay.
So I actually went and he said, you can just look it up on CDC. So I actually did that. And I was actually looking what the actual figures are.
Yeah.
He kind of left with the impression that the single most unsafe, the single most dangerous thing you can do, the most likely way you're going to die when you're in that relatively. And by the way, very few people die in that age range. It's really nice to be young, but when they do, what is the actual most probable causes of death? And it wasn't by being killed on a bicycle. I mean, yes, it happens and we should do what we can to minimize such risks, but the actual risks are quite different. What he was describing, I think he was kind of misleading a little bit on what's called unintentional injury, which includes things like motor vehicle accidents and poisoning, drowning, and other things. But if you actually
is this from the CDC website?
Yes.
Did this? Wow.
I just pulled the numbers off the CDC site. So I just want to say here that if you actually look at of all the people, the different ways to meet to buy the farm within the ranges of, let's say, ages 15 to 34. Thankfully, they don't have many of the things that affect older people just don't barely show up.
Poisoning?
But poisoning.
Unbelievable.
Poisoning includes drug overdoses.
Oh, that's a funny way to put it, though.
Yeah. Well, but it's just a clinical.
I know,
approach.
But it's Confucius. To me, I watch too many murder. Right.
Right. Right, but you ingest something in one form or another, it causes your demise. So the actual worst, when you're a young person between the ages of 15 and 34, drug overdoses is a pretty serious matter. And certainly I can point to the fact that I've known of the deaths over the last, because if you spend time in Central Square and you talk to the police, about drug overdoses and that there have been people who have died. And that's actually, people in that age range, that's really what are killing, that's killing people more so.
I'm surprised it's not even a higher age range. I thought they died
but
above 34.
Right, but so that comes in first, and then suicide is actually a pretty serious matter for people within that age range. Again, we're not talking about many people, but
because, so you're looking at that age range because of what he brought up.
Because of what he brought up.
Okay, and then
and there's homicides. And we all know there have been homicides in
more
Cambridge
pedestrian deaths
of young people. One very, very sad one up on Pemberton, by the basketball courts, the tennis courts over the past year. When you get down there, pedestrians is 1.6% of all deaths. Bicyclists is 0.2%. It's very, very low percentage.
But again, what is this looking at? What community? I mean,
this is national statistics. Now
that's all 6,000 people out of a
No. You're not looking at the numbers correctly.
I know. I don't understand.
But I'm just saying is that if you look at the numbers nationally, the likelihood of cause of death is actually. Bicycling is still a pretty safe thing to do, right? Okay. It's actually, of course, there are more pedestrians than there are cyclists, which is the reason why there's probably 8 times as many pedestrian deaths as there are cycling deaths.
Right.
And so my only criticism is one should not overstate what the
absolutely Or the deaths that have happened in Cambridge too.
Yeah, right? I mean, we have had people who are dying of suicide in this city, and people who are dying of homicide, and other causes as well, you know. And
I think I saw somebody commented on your website. I've never seen any comments, but there were three. And somebody referred to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and by the way, there's also, there's big differences, you know, based on parts of the country, urban environments versus rural, versus female, high income, low income. There, you can cut it up in 100 different ways. I'm just saying.
Was guns in there? I didn't see that. What was that?
Homicide. It would be under homicide.
Oh, homicide.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, anyway, the only point I really wanted to make about that was that while everybody's getting worked up about bike lanes,
I know, and that I'm going to be separated or not, this. Right?
Yeah, and we're just completely ignoring the fact that actually there's so much greater risk for people.
I know. That's so many a very good sources, point. You're right. Know?
And let's have a little.
Okay, so we only have about a minute left. I wanted to, there was supposed to be a meeting on municipal broadband, a committee meeting on Thursday, and now it says Zoom meeting. Not televised. So why is that?
That's because the chair decided to do it that way. That's
but I can't. That means I can't tape it if I'm not here. I can't see it.
Right? Yeah, there should be a way that they should have the recordings of the Zoom meeting available. But
I haven't seen thought that.
I don't know how that's done just yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We'll find that out. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right. So anything else?
Oh, the last thing is just to say.
Oh, trash carts. If you don't like your trash cart, May 17th, you better get in that request.
They'll be coming next month in June, I think, right?
June. Yeah. Everyone got a postcard.
Right. So, we don't want what they're prescribing for my house. We want smaller ones. So,
well, did you put in your request?
Not yet.
Fill out a form. You better do it.
We will be.
May 17th.
Anyway, we're just about out of time. So we'll see you again soon on Cambridge Inside Out. Bye.